John Shorthouse. You see and hear him on the television calling the games, the voice of your Vancouver Canucks. Shorty, let's get right into it, because I think there's a lot of unease and unrest in the fan base in times like these. You think everything is going in the right direction, and then trouble arises, and how do you react? And I think most people like certain aspects of the head coach, but yesterday really surprised them. You know, Russell Wilson asked for a trade. It's really tough. What are your thoughts on that?
What topic are we talking about now? We're talking about Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
I'm trying to delay talking about the Canucks right now.
Let's talk about the Seahawks, because everything about that Athletic article today made me sick to my stomach. As a lifelong diehard Seahawks fan, somebody who was in attendance to see them win the Super Bowl, missed a Canucks game as a result of that because of a snowstorm, but it was all worth it. With all due respect to my children, it may have been the greatest day of my life. So anyway, I have no idea what your question was about. Was it about
I was just joking around here. I was trying to frame it in a way that it sounded like I'm talking about both, but
gotcha.
Really talking
I hear
about
you.
The
I hear you. I've done that before myself, you know, when a team comes back and they have like a couple former Canucks on their roster, you know, you say, and you know, the much anticipated return of .. Josh Levo.
Well, he did get a tribute video.
Yeah, it was well received by everyone in attendance.
Yeah, just a resounding standing ovation. Just in as far as what we've seen from the Vancouver Canucks these past couple of games, look, I know the players have echoed this idea that, hey, it's been improving. It is alarming, though. It's 6 goals in 4 games and 2 shutouts mixed in between. When you view this, is it just like guys gripping the sticks? Is it guys are too tense? What is it from your angle?
A lot of things. There are people who poo-poo the notion of the import of confidence, but I think it's a major player in all sports, including hockey, and I think you're seeing it manifest itself in the wrong ways because of the lack of it with this team. There's a lack of cohesion at times. I think in terms of cohesion, I think their structure is much better now than it was a few weeks ago. I'm on board with the fact that some of these losses could have gone the other way given the way they've played. But again, I think that's sort of where that confidence issue comes in. You're up 3-0. This is 2 games ago, obviously. And I mean, that should be home and cool. But anyone, and look, I've been around this game long enough. I've called Canucks games for almost 25 years. And I've seen teams go through funks like this. And people accuse me of jinxing things by things I say. But, you know, when Dominic Cahoon scored, I've seen this too many times. Not because it's the Canucks, but because it's this version of the Canucks going through this type of a period, of this type of trial and tribulation. You see that goal go in, and you know all of a sudden it's game on. And you recognize that. And, you know, lo and behold, that's how it played out. And I think that, you know, under normal circumstances, if this wasn't a team going through, and I haven't done the research, but this has to be one of the worst months in club history, does it not, at 2-9-2?
It's up there, yep.
You know, it wouldn't happen. But you know there's every possibility it's going to happen because of the funk they're in right now. So what is the root cause, or what am I seeing is what you asked. I'm seeing a lack of assertiveness at times, particularly on the power play. I think they're being too picky with shot selection and that sort of thing. When you go through periods like this, you get into moments of too much individualistic play. And we've seen that. We've seen guys try to gain the zone going 1-on-3, 1-on-4, and it's just not going to happen. You can make poor decisions, puck management-wise. I heard you guys talking about Antoine Roussel just before I came on. And, you know, it didn't lead necessarily to a goal, although I think it led to a video review a strange call by Eric Furlatt to go straight to video review before letting play go on and having letting Toronto have a look at it. But, you know, Roussel serves his penalty 2 games ago, exits the box. He's the only fresh player on the ice. There are 4 guys who are dead tired because I think they've been out there for the entire penalty kill. He gets the puck, and what does he do? He tries to make a play at the blue line. You know, these are the types of things that just can't happen puck management-wise. And that led to the McDavid shot off the crossbar and the video review, whatever else. Did it play an impact? Did it have an impact on the game? I don't know. But it's a sign of a team that at times, too many times, is just not making the correct play and not playing high percentage hockey, all that sort of stuff. So that, you know, I think if they were trending in a different direction, that some of these games in the last week, they would have won. But, the first sign of adversity and take the third period on Tuesday, you know, all you want to do is come out and get through the first 5 minutes and then kind of go from there. Well, by the time the period is 5 minutes old, it had gone from 3-1 to 3-3. And that's what happens with teams that are going through a period like this.
Shorty, there's no shortage of potential answers to this one. But what's been the most frustrating part for you about watching this team recently?
Most recently, I haven't found it. I mean, the results most recently is the frustrating part. If you'd asked me that question 3 weeks ago, I would have said I would have had a much different answer because I think they're playing much better now. So if you most recently, my frustration lies in the win column and the fact that they're now 8-14-2 and out of it, you know, for all intents and purposes. The problem with trying to make up ground this year is that let's say you target Calgary. That's the team you need to beat out, or Calgary and Winnipeg, let's say. You know, in years past, Calgary might help you out by going on a 6-game losing streak and allow you to gain some you know, footing in the standings. But that 6-game losing streak might have come at the hands of the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils, the Penguins, the Flyers, and Columbus on an Eastern road trip. Now, if they go on a 6-game losing streak, it's going to be at the hands of the Jets and the Oilers and maybe the Canucks, you know, in a perfect world. But it's my point is that every team in your division, somebody in your division is winning every night. Every single night. It's a different year that way because they're the only teams you're playing. And on one hand, I guess you could argue, well, it makes it easier to make up ground on one team. But in the overall sense, it's darn near impossible to make up ground because the guys ahead of you are all playing each other and trading points every night. So that frustrates me. But 3 weeks ago, my answer would have been, you know, there just seems to be something rotten in the state of Denmark. You know, they just looked off. There was, I don't like using the word care, but, you know, you think of the game where Holtby got into it with Miller. You know, they just weren't executing, starting from the mental side right through to the physical side. And it, you know, it just looked like they were maybe giving about 70% at times, and that's not acceptable. That's not my answer now. I'm fine with the effort level. I'm fine with a lot of parts of their game, except for their finish and the fact that they can't win.
Now we got a text here. I'm going to expand on this, but why do you think our third line center doesn't have an assist this year? And I guess my question would be, do you feel like at times they play a bit too direct, that there's not more emphasis to try to stay in the zone? Because you think of like Bo Horvat, Tanner Pearson, Brandon Sutter, like these are very straight line, get the puck, get it to the net, and hopefully there's traffic kind of players. Is there enough nuance to you on how to control the play from this team?
Oh boy. I mean, that's a, I mean, obviously the answer is going to be no, because they're 8-14-2 and they've won 2 games in a month. They need to improve everywhere. You know, it's sure. Is it in a perfect world? Is your third line center competing for the Cy Young? Probably not. But, you know, if your belief in this team and whether it's going to succeed or not rests on the shoulders of Brandon Sutter, And, you know, I think he's actually performed fairly well this year. But, you know, you've got problems if you're going to hinge your success on him. Sutter, I actually said last night, and I've seen this in his play in the last few weeks, he actually seems to have regained that half step that he had lost for a few years. I think he's skating pretty well, don't you?
Yeah, for sure. It feels like we're getting the bubble version of him.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I'm not going to sit here and quibble and say there's a problem. I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, you would have the top players in the league at every position. So, I haven't taken time to think about that being an issue and whether a lack of assists and a straightforward approach and a direct type of play is an issue. But I think that we can all agree that there are myriad issues.
Shorty, we're getting lots of texts from listeners today saying, you know, normally I'm really positive.
By the way, I'm making meatballs right now, just so you know. As we speak, I'm making meatballs. I thought we jumped right into the hockey normally, and Cam knows this, so Cam's going to be sending me an apology pretty soon because he knows I like to talk about other stuff.
Hey, trust me, I've got other stuff coming.
Well, can't you lead with it and kind of ease me in? You know, did you grow up listening to Tom Larshak?
I led it with the Seahawks.
That's true. Did you grow up listening to Tom Larshak?
Of course I did.
Okay, do you remember he'd do the between period interviews? And he would butter up his guests. And he would just, like, make them feel like $1 million, you know? And he would just ease them in. And
seem to recall you talking about the best day of your life. Is that not buttering you up?
No, that's true. No, but then he would hit them with the hardball. You know, he would bring the high heat. Inside, little chin music. But by then, they didn't care because they felt like $1 million.
All right, Shorty, what is your meatball recipe?
Okay, here we go. It's too complicated to get into. But I was golfing in the summer with Murph. This is how obsessive I get about food. I was golfing with Murph and a couple other buddies in the summer. And Murph started talking about how he was going to make meatballs that night. This is like on the sixth hole. And for the next two and a half hours, it's all I could think about. All I could think about was meatballs. And so I'm sitting there, I'm going, you got to text me this recipe. He was trying the keto thing at the time. And by the way, that's gone by the wayside. I get obsessed. And so now the round of golf is done. I go straight to the grocery store. I get all the ingredients. And I'm within 10 minutes of being home, I'm making meatballs. So that's what I'm doing today.
So, Shorty, while we're on the subject of food here, and this is maybe more of a comment for Cheech, but I have a daughter who's just shy of 3 years old. Like a lot of toddlers,
so she's like Cheech.
Yeah, exactly. She loves ketchup, right? And we're trying to teach her that, you know, ketchup is something you put on food. It's not actually food itself. You don't eat the ketchup directly. You have to actually have another piece of food to put it on. But every time she clamors for more ketchup, I am reminded of your play-by-play partner for sure.
Well, how's his Lent struggle going?
Yeah, the struggle is real. You know, it's been a minute since he had ketchup, and he's difficult to be around at times. You kind of try to you try to steer a wide berth around him. And I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if you've been going to the games, but they do have like one concession open for people working that day.
Yep.
And so I've gone out of my way, actually, a couple of times. I hate to say this, that I'm this sadistic, but twice now I've brought fries and ketchup into the booth.
Brilliant.
Just to eat them beside him. Now, we do have the plexiglass between us because of the Rona, but he can still, you know, the smell still wafts over. And I do like to torture him a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
That's something you can only get away with when you have a really strong relationship. That's like a professional friendship that's been built up over many years. So that's impressive.
Well, you know, people were shocked that we went from March 11th, which is when things got shut down and we flew home from Phoenix, to the game in Edmonton on January, whenever the second game was. Was that the 14th? We
13th,
never saw
yeah.
each other.
Well, 14th, yeah.
Yeah, the game, we don't do the national games. Come on. But the we went from March 11th to January 14th without seeing each other. But you wouldn't have known it. Like, you just pick up right where you left off. Now, we talked every day. We text every day and all that. But I had not seen him for all that time.
And Shorty, just on that subject of, you know, the distance between calling games, we had a texter text in here saying that he wanted to give you a shout out for the job you guys are doing in difficult circumstances, right? First of all, no fans in the building, and then second of all, calling them off monitors when they're on the road. What's that adjustment process been like for you so far?
I could go on. Like, my head tells me to be smart about this and go on and on about how difficult it is and what a trial it is and all that, just so that I can guarantee that this will not be the way of the future and I get to get back on the road when things return to normal. But it's really not that bad. Aside from the first game where we obviously had major technical issues and I was, you know, calling a game from last March, or at least it sounded that way. But, it's been fine. It's, you gotta have fun with it sometimes because there are times where you can't see one or both of the officials. And so you'll see what looks like an infraction and then you'll kind of have to say, well, I don't know if they're going to call it or not because I can't see the ref, but, there's the whistle. Yep. They called it. So there's that sort of thing. But you know, it's funny. So we're calling the road games from the same suite where we're calling the home games. And the audio from the arena, wherever it's being played, like Monday, Tuesday, they're going to be in Winnipeg. The audio in our headsets is so crystal clear that you swear that it's coming from the Rogers Arena Bowl, which is, you know, right in front of us. And then you take off your headphones and it's dead quiet. So they've done a really good job. I was surprised, like when the bubble idea sprung up and you knew there weren't going to be any fans in attendance, I really wondered, like, how do you call a game in those circumstances? How do you bring the requisite amount of energy if there's no ambient sound, there's no atmosphere, and do you worry about the players actually hearing you? But I think the technology and the job they've done in recreating the sound of an arena and, you know, just the kind of the murmuring and the ebb and flow of the crowd noise, I think they've done a remarkable job technically. And, it's never going to totally replicate what a full building sounds like and the energy that comes from that. But I think it's been pretty good. So calling off the monitor, it's a challenge for sure. It's not a perfect world, but it's what we have to deal with. And it's not as hard as you might think it might be. It really isn't. But if my boss is listening, I do want to travel in the future.
Hey, being in the rink, because you can hear everything now.
Did you hear Batch?
Oh, okay. Did you hear Batch yesterday, though, doing his wrestling promo?
No, I did not.
Oh, well then, you should go log on to Twitter and check it out, because we were having some fun up in the Jim Robson broadcast gondola yesterday. Well, Batch returned to Rogers Arena and made a triumphant return, I will say.
Well, he made sure to text me to let me know he was coming back. And so I don't know, have you seen the movie Arthur with Dudley Moore? And I think it might have been Sir John Gielgud who played his butler. And so in honor of that, Batch texted me and said, oh, I'm going to be back tonight. So I wrote back, I'll alert the media.
Oh, good stuff. It is John Shorthouse. We got to run here. We're late. A lot of meatballs.
Wasn't the last 5 minutes the most fun 5 minutes? Come on.
People in the Texan box aren't thrilled, but yes.
No. That's just the complainers. We know the listeners love this stuff. Come on.
All right. Thank you, Shorty.
Thanks, Shorty.
March will be better. I promise.